Thank you for that wise counsel, Sister Margaret. We greet each and every one to the house of the Lord this morning. We greet you in the name of Jesus Christ. My brothers and I hope that today will be a good day in your life, not only in this hour, but for the rest of the day as you consider those things which would be spoken of by our brother Mike. Do you want to be happy? Listen to this instruction of the Lord. These things that please the Lord. Do you want to make Him happy? Thou shalt thank the Lord thy God in all things. Thou shalt offer a sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in righteousness, even that of a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And that thou mayest more fully keep thyself unspotted from the world, thou shalt go to the house of prayer and offer up thy sacraments upon my holy day. For verily this is a day appointed unto them, to thee to rest from thy labors, and to pay thy devotions unto the Most High. And inasmuch as ye do these things with thankfulness and thanksgiving, with cheerful hearts and countenances, not with much laughter, for this is sin, but with a glad heart and a cheerful countenance. Verily I say that inasmuch as ye do this, the fullness of the earth is yours. The beasts of the fields, and the fowls of the air, and that which climbeth upon the trees, and walketh upon the earth. Yea, and the herb and the good things which come of the earth, whether for food or for raiment, or for houses or for barns, or for orchards, or for gardens, or for vineyards. Yea, all things which come of the earth, in the season thereof, are made for the benefit and the use of man, both in to please the eye and gladden the heart. Yea, for food and for raiment and for taste and for smell, to strengthen the body and enliven the soul. And it pleaseth God that he hath given all these things unto man. For unto this end were they made, to be used with judgment, not to excess, neither by extortion. And in nothing doth man offend God, or against none is his wrath kindled, save those who confess not his hand in all things, and obey not his commandments. We're happy that you're here for this, our Thanksgiving Day service. We trust that the Lord will bless us today in many ways. Would you turn with us to hymn 513?
Thank you. Our most gracious and loving and giving Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for all things. We thank you for this blessed morning, the sunlight that is shining in and the light that is within us that comes from Thee. Lord, we thank you for preparing this time, this place, for preparing this service in our hearts and our minds. We ask that you would speak to us through your brother, Mike, and just pray, Lord, that you would help us to be receptive to that good spirit, that we may truly feast upon thy words, upon thy love, thy forgiveness. Lord, we give you all honor and glory and praise and seek your will for this hour. In the blessed name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
As was mentioned in the announcements, a sacrifice offering will take place today for those that desire to give to Center Place Restoration School Phase 3 of that renovation. And for a moment, I'd like to confess the Lord's hand in this school and give you a little background of the school. In 1990, there was a group of mothers at a reunion, began discussing and realized the need for a school for their children. And one of these mothers made it a matter of prayer. And a few weeks later, she was made aware of a school for sale in the Center Place. It was the Waldo Avenue Baptist Church, and the price tag was $800,000. And she thought, how can this be? How can this come about? Later in 1990, in that year, a group of parents and grandparents began discussing this. Did not know anything about this lady's experience she had, that the Spirit assured her that this would be the school. And they had some open meetings and elected a board to have some leadership in this. And as they began to pray about this, they were led also to this same school. And they were able to negotiate a price of $400,000, half of what they were offering. And they had a sacrifice offering of the saints from all around the country, and they were able to raise those funds to purchase that school in short manner. And so, brothers and sisters, we've had several here in the branch that have attended school there, that are attending school, that have been on the faculty, staff, or board, or are. And it has been a blessing to many of our children, our parents, and to the restoration. And so, brothers and sisters, as we exercise our stewardship today, whether it be in our normal tithe or an offering from the school, let us exercise that stewardship now. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we are so grateful and thankful for the many blessings in each of our lives. Each one here has been so blessed. And even those that feel they have not been blessed as much temporally as others, when we look at the whole world, we find ourselves so blessed. And Father, we pray that as those tithes and offerings are collected today, that you might bless them, that they might be used to establish the furtherment of thy kingdom here on earth. that thy will might be done on earth as it is in heaven, that it might help usher in this kingdom that we so desperately need. So, Father, bless these offerings. Bless each one that would give and those that would give if they could. Is our prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior, who is Jesus Christ. Amen.
For my scripture reading this morning, I selected a passage from our theme scripture. The second chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. From the 22nd through the 28th verse. I'll start at 21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in prison, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance.
above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man. You were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Took the fall and thought of me above all. Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man. You were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, laid behind the stone, you lived to die, rejected took the fall and thought of me above all. Crucified, laid behind the stone, you lived to die, rejected the fall and thought of me above all, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall.
The keys of our piano and our ears have been greatly blessed by the incredible talent of these two young ladies. Margaret, thank you very much. Vida, thank you also. I greet you here this morning in the name of my Master, the only begotten Son of God, our Lord and Savior, and our friend, Jesus Christ. And I'm moved to say to each and every one of you, welcome home. And I pray that what I'm about to share with you this morning will be worth at least a couple of quarters, for we all eat turkey and dressing today. When I was a younger man, and I can still remember a little bit about that before time overtook me, and boy, did it ever overtake me, snuck up on me, in fact. But when I was a younger man, I bemoaned the death of Jesus Christ. I couldn't understand it. I couldn't understand how or why this Almighty God, this powerful, most powerful of all beings, would require the death of His only begotten Son as His plan of salvation. Why couldn't He have thought of some other way to save us all? Why did Jesus Christ have to suffer the agony of the cross? This actually bothered me. And as age did finally creep up on me, and perhaps maybe a little bit of wisdom, it dawned on me. God didn't need this. He could have saved His creation in any way that He wanted to. It was us. It was me who needed this to happen, that my sins could be taken to the cross. Because I would have never believed in a God or in salvation or in eternity had Jesus Christ not risen from the dead. Now I know it's Thanksgiving and not Easter, but that really always bothered me. And I'm thankful today on this Thanksgiving day that that finally occurred to me, that God is a God of love, and He required this because He loves us. And I also wondered, why on earth did the Jews, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees, and the high priests, the chief priests and the scribes, why did they take it upon themselves to determine that this man, Jesus Christ, needed to die? This has always bothered me. But through study, I found the reason. I found the reason why they had to have Jesus Christ killed. Now we know that God orchestrated it. He permitted it. But in the hearts and the minds of these leaders of the Jewish people, this is what happened. And we'll find it in the 11th chapter of John, starting in the 46th verse. And this is just after Christ had performed possibly the greatest miracle of all in his lifetime, when he rose Lazarus from the dead. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. So now the Pharisees have been made aware of the miracles of Christ himself and the things that he could do. Now, because they knew these things, they knew that Jesus Christ was the Savior. They knew it. They knew that there's no way that he could have performed these miracles without him being the Son of God, sent as their Savior. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, "What shall we do? For this man doeth many miracles." And then this next verse is the most important of all. "If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation." So Jesus Christ, even though he was the performer of all these miracles, even though they knew him to be the Son of God and the Savior that they awaited, they were concerned about losing their place. These were some wealthy men. These men were the leaders of the Jewish nation. These were the men that the Jews paid their money to. And one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, "Ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. And this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation. And not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. Then from that day forth, they took counsel together for to put him to death." And one other thing about this has always bothered me. Why did the people, having seen all the miracles that Jesus Christ performed, having been made aware, whether seeing it or not, having been made aware of Lazarus being raised from the dead, why would those people call for the release of Barabbas and chant, "Crucify him, crucify him," in speaking of Jesus, their Savior? Well, a little further study takes us to Mark, the 15th chapter, the 10th through the 15th verse. And it says there, and this is Christ before Pilate and the people in the courtyard in front of Pilate. "And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to deliver Jesus unto them. But Pilate answered unto them, saying, Will ye that I release unto you the King of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy." Now this is the important one. But the chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them as he had before done unto them. Can't you just see them roaming around in that crowd, inciting them, calling for them to cry out, "Crucify him, crucify him." And Pilate spake again and said unto them, "What will ye then that I shall do with him whom ye call the King of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Deliver him unto us to be crucified. Away with him. Crucify him." I'll come back to that in a little bit. So here we have it. The crucifixion, which led to the resurrection, which led to the day of Pentecost. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the ninth hour for prayer. I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong chapter. Here it is. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Now this day of Pentecost, I'm sure that there are people in here who are real students of the Jewish feasts and the Jewish holidays. This day of Pentecost, the word Pentecost itself means 50th day. It is counted from the month of Nisan in the Jewish calendar from the Passover, 50 days out. And it is held in celebration of the Feast of the Harvest, which is where we are today. This is our day of Pentecost, the 50th day. Now, I don't know how they count those. Because if it was from the Passover, 50 days would have put them somewhere in late June. And grain harvest is not in June. Here, perhaps in Jerusalem it was. It's also referred to as the day of the first fruits, and it's held to commemorate the completion of the grain harvest. That's where we are today. And by all accounts, it's been a great and wonderful harvest. I know Tony's been very busy in the harvest. They were of one accord in one place. Think about that for a minute. They had gathered together. Now they were inside. They were inside of a room. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. A rushing mighty wind. I used to always think that was a mighty rushing wind. That's how I would always refer to it, as a mighty rushing wind. But you look at it and it's a rushing mighty wind. Think of that sound for a moment, if you will. Where do we experience that sound? In order for us to experience it, it's usually accompanied by a mighty wind. Tornadoes. If any of you have ever been exposed to a tornado, you will have known the sound of a rushing mighty wind. Or perhaps a hurricane. That's a sustained rushing mighty wind. Thunderstorms, sometimes we get a rushing mighty wind there. The derecho, the recent one in 2020, it was just last year actually, I thought it was longer before that. The derecho in Iowa that blew across northern Iowa and parts of Indiana and Illinois, Indiana, in that order. If you ever get the opportunity to view a video of that derecho, I highly recommend that you do that. The power of nature can't be any more exemplified than in that. Perhaps in a hurricane, I suppose. But this, I, I shortly after it occurred, I watched a video that was about 30 minutes long, and it was from a home security camera, and the wind came up. It was just a breeze at first, and the trees were swaying back and forth, and gradually it just increased, and it got stronger and stronger and stronger, and there was one little tree right here in the yard where the security camera was, and that little tree didn't take long before the leaves were all stripped off of it. And across the street there were some trees over there that were just going back and forth, and then there was a big row of big trees over here. And in the period of about 30 minutes, all of those trees lost all of their leaves, all of their branches. The hardwoods just cracked and went right over. And some of those went over and uprooted their roots and just went right straight down like that. And some of these trees, the taller ones actually, survived this because they were more prone to bend with the wind as it blew instead of just cracking and falling off and breaking and falling off. But the most pronounced thing about that video was the sound, because the wind just roared. It was a rushing mighty wind for sure. And I'll tell you of another time that I experienced this rushing mighty wind. I hope I don't offend anybody. I'm a deer hunter. I spend lots of hours out in the woods, some people would call me a deer waiter, because I just wait for them to come around. And I usually climb a tree and sit in that tree and just wait until a deer walks around underneath of me. And I'm more of a deer watcher than I am a deer shooter. My wife will testify to that. So again, I hope nobody's offended. But one day I was in a tree right in the middle of our property, and there's timber on all sides of me, and I'm sitting in my tree, and I hear this sound from way north of me. It was way up there. And it sounded like a large truck driving down a gravel road, if you can imagine that sound for yourself. It's incredible. And then I thought, no, that's not on the road, because it's getting closer to me. And this was a rushing mighty wind, and it was a mighty wind. It was coming across our property. And the trees were shaking and vibrating. And when I finally realized that this is wind and it's about to hit me, I decided I better get out of this tree. Well, I stepped off my stand and got onto the ladder of the tree. And about that time, the wind broke on me, and I just wrapped my arms around the tree and just hung on for dear life. And the wind blew and blew. It blew for probably 10 minutes, and it came across there. A rushing, mighty wind. I hope someday, if you haven't ever gotten to experience that, remember, every time I experience a rushing, mighty wind, there's wind involved. These men sitting in this house heard the sound of a rushing, mighty wind unaccompanied by wind. So that's how you have to relate that now when you think about that. Here they are, they're hearing the sound of this rushing, mighty wind. And what's the next thing that happens to them? Well, there's fire, cloven tongues of fire. Cloven means split, so it's flame like this. Okay, and it appears on all of them. It touches every one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Let's do this Holy Ghost for just a second. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm going to take you over to chapter 4, the 20th through the 30th verses. Obviously, that's not correct. I'm sorry, 431. There we are. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Now, notice I said in the reading, and when they had prayed, these were Peter and John had been threatened now by the Pharisees. Don't say any more. We just stop talking about Jesus Christ. Don't talk about him anymore, or we're gonna punish you for it. But then they had to let him go because they had just healed the man who had been born crippled. Had been born that way, and he's 40 years old, and they can't punish them because the people have seen what they've done, and so they were concerned about the people, but they're still threatening them, and I want you to hear the prayer that they pray when they heard, and when they heard that, let's look, okay. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. Here we are, one accord again. And said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. Who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, why did the heathen rage, and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And again, when they had prayed, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And then it says, what the next thing that happens to them, they begin to speak in tongues. This is important, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, you have to know and understand here that when they spoke in tongues, it wasn't just gibberish. The words that they were speaking were actually different languages. There were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians, now listen to all of the different countries, all the different languages, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia in Egypt and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. They were all gathered together in Jerusalem for the Pentecost. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God, and they were all amazed. I found that quite interesting. What happens after all the people hear them speaking? They get baptized. Baptized with a P, not a B. I used to say baptized all the time, but it's actually baptized, B-A-P-T-I-Z-E-D, baptized. I found that interesting. Now, and all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods. Sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And over in the fourth chapter, after the prayer, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul, neither said any of them, now this is really important, neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. Notice that they did not say, all I have is the Lord's, and I am but his appointed steward over it. That's not how they phrased it. They sold it, and they laid it at the feet of the apostles to be distributed to all men according to their needs. I want to go back to this baptized part just for a second. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. They were baptized because they believed. Now let's go back to where I talked about the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, and the chief priests all wanting Christ to be crucified. Because if they didn't, all men would believe on him and they would lose their place. Now, I want you to think about the restored church of Jesus Christ. When Joseph Smith first organized the church, remember what happened. All of the men from the other denominations, all of the other denominations, began to preach against Joseph Smith and the reorganized church, the Church of Jesus Christ. And they did that for one reason. The same reason that the Pharisees determined that it was necessary to put Christ to death. Because if they hadn't done it, if they hadn't preached it, and they preach against him today, about once a month in all other denominations, the pastor will preach against the Mormons and in our church. Because if they don't do that, all men will be convinced of the truth of our church. And when they are convinced of the truth, these other people will lose their place. They will lose their income. They will lose their congregations. And I'm not comparing Joseph Smith to Jesus Christ. I am, however, comparing the church, the bride of Jesus Christ. And they preach against the church even today in order that men don't all believe the way that you believe. Knowing that, anybody who is here today who is not baptized, anybody who is here today that you know someone who is not baptized, who does not believe in our church, They can be convinced. They can be convinced. I suggest that you study it. Look to be baptized into this church. And I'll close with this. Brothers and sisters, I pray, and I'm thoroughly convinced, this is a belief of mine, but it's not just a belief of mine, it is my prayer. I pray that right now, even now, the Lord is preparing a young man to take the lead of His church, to be prophet, seer, and revelator, to organize again the cause of Zion to the establishment of His kingdom by the gathering of His people. I pray that we all will qualify to be His people. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
O God, the Eternal Father, indeed together we have lifted our voice in song in thanksgiving to Thy holy name and thankfulness for all the rich blessings that You have laid before us, for indeed we are a blessed people. We pray, Father, that we might be worthy of these great many blessings and give all our strength in service to Thee. Where You will call and ask us to go, May we be willing, Father, to arise and to go and to answer that call. Help us to have the strength to be valiant in our testimony, Father, and bless us this day by going with us as we depart. We thank You, Father, for the opportunity that we will have to gather in a meal together, and we pray that You'd bless us in our fellowship one with another. And we thank You for our opportunity to assemble this day and hear the spoken word and how it is that Jesus Christ laid down his life in sacrifice that we might have forgiveness of our sins. We owe you so much, Father, and are so thankful for this great gift of your only begotten Son. It is in his name that I do pray and ask these things, even Jesus the Christ. Amen.